Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda.
When you have balance, both selling and sailing can be passions. Meet Stephen Perlman.
Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more than to connect
with my listeners. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Steve Perlman. Steve is an insurance and investment advisor, and he's a professional speaker with Referral Coach International. So, Steve, first, I would like to welcome you to the show.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing very well, and I'm super excited for you to address my audience with your passion, because I know you are very serious about your career, but you're also very serious about your passion. So before we get started, did you bring a meaningful quote that you'd like to share with us today?
Yes. One quote that I've always seemed to have used throughout my entire life actually hangs on a plaque on the wall in my office, and it's from Ralph Waldo Emerson. And it says, "Do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail."
I love it. How do you connect to that?
Well, much like my passion, which is for sailing, I have never really had a life or the desire to run my life using somebody else's roadmap. I've always, you know, steered my career using a compass. And that allows for me to just make sure that I am traveling in the right direction, but yet the freedom to choose the path that I'm going to travel on to get there. So when I read that quote from Emerson 25 or 30 years ago, in and around the same time I started sailing, it just has stuck with me throughout my entire life.
I really love the whole image of the compass. I hope that you incorporate that into your business in some way. I think that is really, really cool, because it's meaningful to you because you are a sailor. You're somebody who sails, and you're from Philadelphia right now, right? You're in Philly?
Yes, I live in Philadelphia now.
And I don't think that most people would envision a sailor living in Philly. So I think that's a really cool combination right there.
Well, I am actually a transplanted sailor from one of the sailing capitals of the East Coast of the United States, which is Long Island Sound. I actually grew up no longer than a 10-minute bicycle ride to the beach. And my friends' houses that sat on the bluff overlooked Long Island Sound and the South Shore of Connecticut. So Long Island, as far as you go back into the early 1600s, has always been a sailing haven in the United States. So I was very, very fortunate to have been introduced to sailing in Port Jefferson Harbor.
How old were you then?
I was 14 or 15 years old. And a friend of mine said to me, "Why don't you get on your bicycle and we're going to go down to the harbor, and I know a great way for us to make some money." So we go down to the harbor, and it's about this time of year, maybe a little bit later in the spring. And there are all these people with their sailboats that are in dry dock, and they are in the process of scraping the barnacles off and repainting the bottom of their boats. So this is now in the late 1970s, and me, being around 15 years old at the time, always looking for ways to make more money.
Always hustling.
Always hustling.
Got to be
always
in the grind.
People, even back then, they would pay you between $50 and $100 a day cash to help them scrape down the bottom of their boat and repaint the waterline. And then what they would do is they would take your phone number, which, of course, there were no cell phones back then. So your mom would say, "Mr. So-and-so called, and he wants to know if you're available on Sunday to go sailing." And the very first time that I ever had an opportunity to sit in the cockpit of a sailboat was because I had helped somebody over the course of two or three weekends get their boat ready to go in the water. And as part of the payment, they would take me out for a day sail on Long Island Sound between Port Jefferson and Bridgeport, Connecticut.
That's amazing, because, I mean, I don't know what your family was like, but I do know that when I was a kid, you know, anything that had to do with going out on a boat or even, you know, being able to go horseback riding, like things that you were never exposed to. And it sounds like that was a situation for you that it just was an amazing moment for you.
It was a very, very unique time out in Long Island at that point. It was still a very, very, I want to say a simpler time back then in the 60s and 70s out on Long Island. Much of the area that I lived in was not being built yet. A lot of it was still potato farms and cornfields. It was a very, very old neighborhood that had been settled in the 1600s. So there was a lot of culture in the area, a lot of old culture, a lot of Revolutionary War culture that's been, you know, reminiscent in that area. So it was a very, very different time and a very, very different place. So my parents were, although transplanted kids who grew up in Brooklyn, they were still very, very open-minded to letting us get on our bicycles and coming home 5 or 6 or 7 hours later without the help of cell phones and GPS and all of those other things. And, you know, don't you know, all those years later, I still came home every day.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you end up creating this passion for sailing from this experience. And then, of course, you go to college. And I know you, like you were saying before the interview started, that you also drove a cab 4 nights a week while you were in college. So you had all these other experiences. And you end up becoming, you know, a successful insurance and investment advisor. But what does your day look like now? And how does sailing fit into your life? Because I know that I have so many overworked listeners who need a passion and they need to have this kind of relaxation and excitement in their lives. So teach them how you do it.
Well, my day is probably not unlike many other people who have their typical 50 or 60 or 70 hour work week. Most days I am up and in front of my computer and looking at emails and answering questions and things like that, probably by 6:30 in the morning. And, you know, then I have my day planned in front of me. I have a breakfast meeting, a lunch meeting, a case to prepare for, or I'm going to be driving from my home office on one side of Philadelphia to my corporate office, which is on the other side of Philadelphia. And, oh, by the way, an old Philadelphia saying is there's no nice way to get there from here. And it is true. It's not that far, but there's no direct road to get there. So getting to the office in the morning is not the easiest thing to do. So I try to only do it twice a week at most. One of the things that I incorporated early on in my practice was something back in, I would say, 2005, which is now known as cloud computing. The contact management software that I was using had gone from network-based to single computer-based to being virtual because you could sign on to it. And mind you, this is 11 years ago. And you could log on to it from anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I was able to uncouple myself from the daily regimen of having to go to the office and be there first thing in the morning just so I knew through my contact management system who to call, to be able to do that by sitting in the park and going through a wireless hookup and having my entire contact management and database system sitting right in front of me. So, you know, wireless cloud computing is something that I've been doing now for quite a few years, and I would recommend that to everyone to move to a cloud-based contact management system software. So, you know, that's typically how my day starts. My typical day can end anywhere from 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. And most of my clients I no longer see in the evenings, although early on in my career, I had more evening appointments than daytime appointments. And then I got really smart and realized if you want to work 60 hours a week, you don't necessarily have to do that between 8 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock at night. So a lot of my clients enjoy the fact that we would rather get together at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning or maybe 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, as opposed to 8 o'clock on a Thursday night. Because at 8 o'clock on Thursday night, they've had a long day, I've had a long day, and many of them had kids growing up who rightfully deserve their attention. So I didn't want to be that force in their life that took away from their mom and dad time. So at 10:30 or on a Sunday morning, they're done with what they have to do. The kids are out playing, and we're able to have a meeting for, you know, 60 to 90 minutes to discuss their insurance and investment needs.
So where does sailing fit in?
You know, I'm very, very fortunate. As I said before, the first time I ever sat in the cockpit of a sailboat, I was about 15 years old. I actually started sailing on something that was a little bit smaller than what most people might know as a sunfish. A sunfish was a small 16-foot boat that had a little tiny cockpit on in it that you just put your feet in the cockpit and you sat on the edge. And the first time that I had ever taken out a sunfish-style boat was in the harbor, in Setauket Harbor on the North Shore. And there was literally a small hurricane actually coming in. And there we were. A friend of mine has had two of them. And essentially all I did was mimic everything he was doing. He had learned how to sail. I learned how to sail, or the fundamentals of sailing, I should say, by watching him. So the first time I was ever able to go out and sit in a boat and sit in a cockpit in the boat, it was the first time that I had ever actually seen a winch and a winch handle, and had to grind, as they say, when they're pulling in the lines to trim the sails. It was the first time I ever had to grind a winch. And I had been sailing now at this point for 4 or 5 years, but on Little Sunfish, there are no winches. Everything is done, you know, via hand controls, and that's it. So it kind of progressed through the years, but ultimately, I have to tell you, most sailboats that you can actually ride in and ride on have built-in motors in them. You know, when the wind dies and you're out in the middle of nowhere, you don't want to have to sit there for maybe a day or two for the wind to pick back up again so you can get home.
I've never been on a sailboat, just to let you know.
Oh.
Never.
Well, we're going to have to make that happen, because as it happens, one of the trips that I have done most often is to sail from Annapolis, Maryland, up the Chesapeake Bay, across the Chesapeake Delaware Canal, down Delaware Bay, around Cape May, all the way up the Jersey Shore, and out to Long Island and Block Island and Nantucket. So we'll be sailing past your house one day. So maybe you'll come down to the beach and we'll put you on the boat for the afternoon.
That'd be awesome. Also, you know what? When I'm taking my show on a 50-state tour, and we're going to be in Philly for a day too. I could tell you when that is.
Very cool.
That would be neat to include that in the trip.
Very neat.
We'll see if we can work it out. So I'm sorry. I'm envisioning all of these things. And when you say winch, I'm like, I don't know what that is. So, but I got the visual from what you're telling me, but I can see how that must have been for you to get on, you know, the different types of ships and kind of grow with each one.
You know, the funny part about sailing is whether you're on a 14-foot or a 16-foot sunfish, or you're on a 16-foot or a 20-foot catamaran, which you may be familiar with. A lot of people on the beaches have these boats that have two hulls on it and a trampoline in the middle. They're called catamarans. A lot of them are made by a company called Hobie, and they're called Hobie Cats. The fundamentals of sailing are exactly the same whether you're on a monohull sunfish, a catamaran, Hobie Cat, or a 47-foot Catalina that has three-zone air conditioning, two heads, two showers, a full galley kitchen, and has autopilot everything.
Which kind do you have?
Well, here's where my passion and my practicality really have a chance to converge. I don't own a boat.
Wow. Okay. Because I'm thinking it'd be hard to own a boat in Philly.
Well, you can own a boat in Philly, but quite honestly, sailing the Delaware River in the Philadelphia area and sailing Delaware Bay from, you know, south of Philly all the way down to Cape May is really not that exciting. In this area, sailing in the Chesapeake is a whole lot more exciting. You have a tremendous amount of tributaries that you can go to. You can get on a boat in the Chesapeake and you could sail all the way to the Jefferson Memorial up the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. So sailing in the Chesapeake is much more favorable than sailing in Delaware Bay. And the reason I don't own a boat, quite honestly, is I don't need to.
Right.
I have a lot of friends who have owned boats and who currently own boats. And what you'll find from people who own boats is they'll tell you the overwhelming majority of the people that they invite to come on their boat do not know how to sail. So here they are, they're inviting friends of theirs, they're inviting guests to come onto their sailboat. And the whole time that they're out on the water, they have to be working. They have no time to actually enjoy time with their friends unless they pick up a hook or drop an anchor somewhere. But while they're actually sailing, they need to be at the helm. Because I have to tell you something. As a sailor, if you want to get somebody to really appreciate your skills, all you have to do is while you're under sail, while the engine is off, say to them, hey, could you come here and take the wheel for a minute? I want to go down below and grab a soda. And in about 20 seconds, you're going to hear a shriek like you've never heard before because they have no idea what they just got themselves into. Because being at the helm of a sailboat or any boat that is under sail and not with the engine running is completely different than just being able to hit the throttle and steer it in the direction you want to go.
It's work.
It's work. It's technique. And there is a know-how to it. So because of that, because I am a proficient sailor, because I actually raced for a number of years in the late 1980s and the early 1990s on a 41-foot boat with a crew of anywhere from 8 to 12, I learned every single station of the boat. I learned all of the mechanics of sailing a boat. And when I'm invited onto a boat, that skipper, that boat owner knows that for one of the rare times that they're out on the water with friends, they could sit back and say, hey, Steve, would you do me a favor? Can you take the helm for a while so I can go down below and cook us some lunch? Or maybe I could lay out on the foredeck with my wife and our friends and catch some sun or things like that. And there will be sailing down the Chesapeake Bay or sailing on Long Island Sound or maybe be 100 miles out in the Atlantic Ocean on our way to Block Island. And they are finally able to let go of the helm of the boat and actually enjoy the rest of their boat because they've invited me to come aboard.
You just go back to the kid you were, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That's awesome. I
absolutely.
Love it. That's great. So, okay, what kind of hesitations or challenges is what I always ask my guests about that they have about their passions? But I think you just said it, you know, about owning a boat. Because why pay for it? Why deal with it? Because we used to own a boat, just not a sailboat, but we owned a boat here at the Jersey Shore. And it's a lot of upkeep and it's work. And, you know, there's an even gas that goes into it and things like that. So I get exactly what you mean about the work that goes into it. Are there any other challenges that you would add to that?
Well, you bring up a very, very good point. And unlike your family experience, my family experience is a little bit different in that most sailboats, they may be burned when you're under power, when the sails are down, or maybe as you're what they call power sailing, you're maybe burning 1 gallon of diesel fuel an hour, as opposed to maybe somebody who has a, you know, 28-foot sedan. And, you know, just running around for the weekend is going through, you know, 250 gallons of fuel over the course of 2 days. Mm-hmm. So sailboat people tend to be pretty smirky about the fact that we don't go through a whole lot of fuel. But yes, there is a lot of maintenance. There's a lot of moving parts on a sailboat. There are a lot of things, all of your lines, you know, all of your sheets, as they call it, have to be taken care of. You have to make sure that your sails are always in good shape. Plus, there's a lot of electronics, and a lot of times you'll have a problem where that giant thing sticking out of the top of your sailboat that somebody calls a mast, well, lo and behold, while your boat was in the dock somewhere and there was a huge thunderstorm that came through, your 72-foot mast acted as a lightning rod, and, you know, God decided to throw a little extra juice through your electronics. So all of a sudden you'll go down to go sailing and find out that, you know, the motherboard on your GPS system has now been fried out of the boat. So yes, there is a lot of maintenance that's associated with it. But, you know, overall, sailboats, I think, are a lot easier to maintain than, you know, traditional powerboats.
Right. Even just paying for docking and getting the boat put in the water, taken out of the water for the season. And like you said about painting the bottom of the boat every year or two, wherever, however often you have to do that, right?
You either have to do that or you have to pay somebody to do that.
Right.
And, you know, paying somebody to do that can get to be very, very costly every year.
So what do you think sailing has taught you about yourself?
Where to go when I want to find peace.
And that you need that peace in your life?
Absolutely. My life, like many people's lives, is just filled. It's very funny. Early on in my life when I was sailing, there were very, very, very few instances where I was actually out pleasure sailing. Actually, I was only out pleasure sailing maybe a dozen times in my teen years after I'd helped people, you know, put their boats in the water. And most of those were only for an hour or two, going out for a sail, going out of the harbor, back in the harbor again. They really weren't all-day events. They were just basically getting my feet, you know, wet in the water, so to speak. And it wasn't until 1986, almost 10 years after I'd first been on a sailboat that you could actually stand in, that a friend of mine said to me, "Hey, didn't you tell me you know how to sail?" Now, at this point, I wouldn't say that I actually knew how to sail. I would actually say, yeah, I'd been on a sailboat a few times. But of course, you know, being in my 20s, I said, "I absolutely know how to sail. Why do you ask?" He said, "Because I'm going racing on Wednesday night and we need extra crew. Do you want to come out and help us?" And I said, "Sure." So there I am in City Island Yacht Club in City Island, which is a section of the Bronx, right on the westernmost edge of Long Island Sound, taking a dinghy out to get on somebody's 29-foot sailboat, who thinks that the friend that their regular crew member is bringing knows exactly what he's doing.
This is so indicative, though, of your sales personality. I mean, I know you are in sales and you love to sail, and we were joking about that before our interview today. Sales and sales.
Sales and selling, absolutely. I've often said, you know, throughout anything I've ever done in my life, I'm pretty good at figuring things out. And by the time you figure out that I didn't know what I was doing when we got started, I'll have figured out how to do it.
Right. And that's what happened?
That's exactly what happened. I mean, I got out on this boat. It was a husband and wife, my friend Pete and myself. And, you know, Pete said to me, "What do you want to do?" And I knew enough that grinding on the winch. Now, you have to imagine, you have these long sails. You have the main sail, and then you have your jib and Jenny on the front of the boat, that triangular one that comes down the side of the boat. So the way you pull the sails in are these giant metal cylinders that you wrap the what they call sheets. You wrap the sheet around and then use a handle to winch the sail in tighter and tighter, or let it out as you want. So I knew enough to say, I can grind a winch, no problem. For Pete to say, "Okay, I'm going to go on the foredeck," which means he's in charge of like setting all the sails and changing all the sails and doing all the other things that I really hadn't been exposed to, but didn't know what to do. So yeah, I got a really good workout, because there I am for a two and a half hour race overlooking the Throgs Neck Bridge and the U.S. Maritime Academy on the North Shore of Long Island, grinding winches for two and a half hours during the course of a race. But basically, that's how I learned how to sail. And after sailing with Pete on that boat the first year, a slightly larger 33-foot boat the second year, when I was on that second boat and I was actually on the foredeck of that second boat, a skipper from an even larger boat noticed me and approached me that evening in the after race roundup and said, "Would you consider coming and trying out for my boat?" Now, he raced a boat known as a J41, which was a boat that was built specifically for pleasure racing. So it wasn't a racing boat, but it wasn't a cruising boat either. It was built for people who wanted a go fast sailboat. And the amazing thing was, is he had a J41. And the U.S. Maritime Academy across Long Island Sound had also a J41. So on every Wednesday night during the racing season for the next 3 years, I would race head to head against people who were actually in college to learn maritime. So, and that was a true team sport. I mean, when you are on a 41-foot boat and you have 12 people on the boat, and you are rounding a mark, And the next boat, which is also somewhere between 35 and 45 feet long, is literally an arm's length away from you. As you're both rounding this mark, when they say tack or they say jibe, you better go where you need to go, because otherwise somebody's going to get hurt. I mean, it
sounds super exciting.
It is ballet on the water. It really is. I mean, everybody has to move to their position at the exact right time. Everything has to fall in place, or one of two things is going to happen. Either something is going to go really wrong and somebody's going to get hurt, or you're going to blow the turn, you're going to lose all your boat speed, and next thing you know, the person who was two lengths behind you is now five lengths in front of you, and you're never going to make up that kind of time. So it's really an amazing, amazing team sport. And you kind of get a sense of it watching some of these America's Cup races, although they're a little bit more high tech than I was. But yeah, I mean, I learned early on my passion for sailing started with racing sailboats. So when I moved to Philadelphia 21 years ago, quite ironically 21 years ago today, and I met a very good, my best friend, Larry, who is also originally from Long Island, and who also is a sailor, and he said to me, do you want to go out sailing? I said, sure.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, here's the funny thing. He takes me down. We go down to the Chesapeake. At that time, he owned a 38-foot Pearson, which is a nice-sized boat. You could sleep five or six pretty comfortably. It only had a single head and a single shower and a smaller galley kitchen. We'd actually sailed it all the way from Annapolis to New England at least once or twice before he got his bigger boat. But there we were out on the Chesapeake, and we had set our sails, and it was just him and I out for the day, and we're going along, and I said to him, are we going to get ready to tack? And he said to me, what for? The wind is blowing perfectly. And I said to him, because I've never just sat on a boat and gone in one direction for like 6 hours. He said, wait, you're going to love it. And about 2 hours later, it hit me. I was at the helm of the boat. Larry was down below, and he yelled up to me, do you want your breakfast drink? And I said, sure. So you have to know, a breakfast drink when we go sailing is you need to have your orange juice in the morning. So a tequila sunrise works perfectly.
Okay, perfect.
So he's down below making a couple of tequila sunrises. He flips on the radio and the radio system in the boat. There are speakers in the cockpit, and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's So Far album comes on through the speakers in the cockpit. And there I am, leaning back against the lifelines of the boat, steering the helm with my feet, as he hands me this freshly made tequila sunrise in a frosted glass at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I said to myself,
what else is there?
There is nothing better.
Love it. Love it.
So what I have found in sailing is how to create that balance. Because when you are there and in between the songs, when you hear the air rippling off the back of the sail and you hear the water tapping against the bottom of the hull, and the wind is in your hair, and you're steering this boat with your feet, you are no more connected to all the elements of the planet than you are at that moment. There is nothing artificial propelling you forward in your life at that moment. It's the current, it's the air, it's the water, and it's you.
Now, I was going to ask you what people should envision if they were to bring sailing into their life. That was my next question, and you just answered it. So next would be to explore, because to get people to act, people are listening and they're saying, man, that sounds amazing. I would dig that. I could learn how to sail at any age. So I believe envision, explore, execute. What should they explore? For you, you were exposed to it younger in the respect that you were working for people, and then you had friends too now that have boats, so you don't have your own boat. But just to explore getting sailing into someone's life, what would you recommend?
Well, there's a couple of good ways to go about it. and ways that people have been exposed to it. Ironically speaking, my wife and I are now married 19 years. She has never gone sailing with me. Her criteria for being on the boat is it has to be large enough to have an in-ground built-in swimming pool. So cruise ships work well. 47-foot sailboats do not. So she's never been sailing with me on a sailboat, but we were in St. Thomas, and we went out on a catamaran, one of these giant party catamarans that hold 50, 60, 70, 80 people.
Right.
And at one point in the evening, they actually shut off the engines, and we were under sail. And the nice part about catamarans is they do not heel over. You know, sometimes when you're looking at a sailboat, it's not sitting, you know, perpendicular in the water, and that's because of the way the wind is hitting the boat. So a lot of people are very resistant to go sailing because they like their surfaces flat. And on sailboats, monohull sailboats, you know, there's not a whole lot of flat surfaces all the time. But on catamarans, there usually is a flat surface because you have two hulls. So the first place I would recommend is if you are on vacation and you have an opportunity to go ahead and take a catamaran ride, when you get on the boat, just say to the skipper, hey, at some point, can we shut off the engine and just be under sail for a while? And hopefully they'll make that happen for you. The other thing that you can do, quite honestly, is, you know, I know Philadelphia has sailing schools down right on the Delaware Bay. I know Annapolis in Maryland for people who are down in the D.C. area and down in the Eastern Shore, Western Shore area. There are a ton of sailing schools for beginners. There are a ton of sailing schools. There are a ton of sailing clubs for beginners. And all you have to do is call them.
I love that. And I know somebody whose daughter started sailing at a county college and ended up being on a team for the college and still sails. And that's how she met her husband. So, I mean, it can lead to all these fabulous things. So to execute the plan, then, are you saying first step is to call?
Absolutely. The first step is just make up your mind that you got to try this out. I mean, this is all, you know, they all say, you know, as long as it's in your mind, nothing else is going to matter. So, you know, this is all mind over matter, and you get comfortable. You know, one of the things and one of the reasons that and you know this from your own experience, there are people that maybe they're not great swimmers. There are just people that are just not comfortable on the water. So I'm not going to recommend sailing for somebody who has an aversion to being in the water. Sailing is a whole lot more like being in the water than being on a powerboat, quite honestly. Very often when you're on a sailboat, you're going to get wet. And you're going to get wet because a wave is going to come from a slightly different direction and the wind is blowing and the spray from the wave is going to come and you're going to get wet. So, you know, two rules of thumb. A, don't wear something that's really, really nice that you wouldn't want to get wet. And B, be very careful if you're wearing white.
You make me miss summer. I can't wait for summer, and at least today is a warm day, so it's helping. What kind of closing advice or final thoughts do you have for us today?
You know, I've been very, very fortunate in many, many areas of my life. At my core, I tell people, as I spoke with a brand new prospective client this morning, at my core, I'm a life insurance guy who also is licensed and does some investment work for their clients. Being in business for myself has offered me enormous opportunities that a lot of people do not have. Being in the insurance and investment business offered me opportunities to do things that my own dad wasn't able to do for me. My dad was a businessman himself, and in all of my years playing sports, whether it be, you know, in a local club team, whether it be baseball or football, or playing, you know, sports after school, my dad only made it to one of my football games my entire life. When my son was growing up and he was 7 or 8 years old and he was playing for the local sports team and he was playing baseball and he was playing deck hockey and he was playing soccer, not only was I able to make it to every one of his games, but I made it to probably 90% of all of his practices. So, you know, there was enormous amount of personal satisfaction that I got from being in business for myself. But by the same token, as your listeners know, you know, you need to perform. There's nobody going to say, oh, you've had a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, a bad year. Here's all the money that you need to pay your bills. So there, the pressure is on, and the pressure is on every single day. Rory Vaden, who's a writer and a speaker that I followed, you know, has a saying that goes something to the effect that success is only rented. It's never really owned. And the rent is due every single day. So because I've lived my life as a businessman, last 21, 22 years in the insurance and investment business, prior to that in sales, primarily commission-based sales with very, very small base salaries, you know, I've always had to perform and live with the both the pressure of and the benefits of having a career that has been in my control. So to that, being able to find that thing in my life where I sit back and I know with 100% certainty that maybe not for the entire time, but for a portion of that time, that I am going to be able to connect and decompress and feel like I am a part of the bigger planet has just been absolutely magnificent for me. And I would wish that for anybody, whether it's sailing or anything else they have a passion about. What is it that grounds you and makes you part of the bigger universe and not just totally tied up and focused inside of your own little world?
I love that so much. And I'm so happy for you that you found sailing and have that outlet in your life.
Thank you.
How about we give everybody your contact information? Because if they would like to get in touch with you with anything sailing, any questions about everything you talked about, or anything insurance or investment related.
Well, you can contact me through either my, I'm going to give you my information from what I do in my professional speaking career, which is where we met. I teach networking. I teach effective networking. I teach how to take something that most people absolutely dread when they're growing their businesses, which is going out and meeting strangers at strange events, and turning it into something that is productive and fun and helps them to stay in their business long enough so that they can develop a passion for the business that they're in the same way that I have a passion for the life insurance industry. That doesn't happen on your first day. That probably doesn't happen in your first year. But as I've had, and that would be a whole nother conversation, I've had experiences in my career where the just pure sense of gratefulness for the work that I've done for people has come back to me in a way that could never be measured in dollars and cents. And it's because of that that I have that passion for being an insurance and investment advisor. The easier way for people to find me is through Networking Champions. And the website to find me on is very easy to find. Just type in www.netchampsys. That's netchampsys.com. And that will take you to networkingchampionssystem.com. You can find me there or my partner, Bill, or you can find me on Twitter. And I hope you will follow me on Twitter. Amazingly enough, we just launched my Twitter account and at Networking Champ was available.
Awesome.
So I am at Networking Champ on Twitter, and you can follow me there. And one of the things that I write, as you'll see on the website, is I have my little, what we call Pearls of Wisdom, spelled P-E-R-L-S for Stephen Perlman. So I tend to share little anecdotes and sayings along the way that I get some very, very good feedback on.
And we'll see if we can get you a part of our private Facebook group also. It's Motivate Me Ultimate Support System, and people can reach out to you there. I just love how eloquently, Steve, that you expressed your passion to us with such amazing imagery that makes all of us long for summer right now. So I think that was great. And it's evident, you know, what sailing is doing for you and the fact that you want other people to enjoy their lives to the same degree. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
I really appreciate the invitation. Thank you very much for letting me to share.
You are welcome. And this is where we give our go do for everybody. So what do you think they should go do today to get started in this direction?
I think that they should go online today, look up sailing schools in their area, and just sign up for a beginner class.
Right. One introductory class.
Absolutely. Whether it's an introductory class or maybe they have a program where they will take you out for, you know, an hour or two just to see if you're comfortable with being on a boat. Not that you have to sit in a classroom. You know, the funny thing about sailing, it's like taking a skiing lesson, right? I was a skier also when I was growing up as a kid. And the funny thing about taking a skiing lesson is you're actually skiing while you're in the lesson. So the funny thing about a sailing lesson is, for the most part, you're actually sailing while you're in class.
I love it. That's it. That's the end of the show, everybody. Please remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.